time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, in your day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast. You know, the Bible says, the Bible says this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The reason I mention that is a lot of people hate rainy days and Mondays. So I don't know what the weather is like where you are, but if it's a rainy day, it's definitely a Monday. Just know that it's the day to rejoice. It's the 26th of June. May God bless and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. My lovely wife, Undreamed Of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together and to have worship. We ask for your spirit to teach us the things we need to know as you anoint the words of our pastor and fill him with your spirit. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about
God. friends, we are studying in preparation for baptism. These are principles, teachings that we need to understand. Let's pray. Father, be with us this morning. But first of all, accept our praise and thanksgiving and rejoicing of your greatness and the announcement of your majesty. We pray, Father, that you will please be with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Always an on-time God. We're reading Genesis chapter 21. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Friends, God is a God of time. God knew what he was going to make on day one. That was a period of time, and he did it. He knew what he was going to make on day two, three, four, five, and six when he made man, and he did it, each in its time. And then God took the next 24 hours of time and made a special day to spend time with us. God is a God of time, and when people keep Sunday as a special day of worship, they are slapping God in the face saying, your time doesn't matter. Brothers and sisters, there is not a scripture in the Bible that takes away the sanctification, the holiness of that 24-hour period from sunset Friday to sunset Saturday. It's just not in the Bible. I don't know how to say it any better. It's not in the Bible. So we should be following what's in the Bible, God's special time. And this is the title of our message. There's more to come, but God is a God of time. And when you study prophecy, God set a time that he would allow the Roman Catholic Church to persecute people, and he set a bound on that time. They could not do it past 1,260 years. That's a long time, but it gives the world time to understand who they really are. I'm talking about the system. I'm talking about the leadership. I'm not talking about Catholic people. Some of them are the most devoted, godly people you will ever meet. But the leadership in the high levels of leadership, the Pope and all of that level of leadership, the Bible says he's the man of sin. The Bible says that they would persecute the church, the woman, for 1,260 years. And the woman would be suffering, but still faithful and getting the word out. That's why in Revelation 12, which we studied on Sabbath, and we'll put a recording up of that soon on the WhatsApp. But the woman clothed with the sun, that means God's church would bring the light of truth in peaceful times. But she had the moon under her feet. Even in the dark times, the light would still shine. For the sun simply is the source of light, and the moon reflects that light. And the woman stood on the moon, but she was clothed with the sun. So the truth will never, ever be completely eliminated. The devil will try. The devil tried different things, even during the latest health crisis that we saw. I personally know doctors and scientists. I'm talking about revered doctors and scientists that were telling the truth, and they were taken off of the major platforms, brothers and sisters. That's just the way it was. And they went into alternative platforms. So that was an attempt to get the truth to be obliterated. But those who are seeking truth, you'll find it. Because the Bible says in Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. But a lot of people aren't knocking and seeking. They're just accepting and being spoon-fed by whatever the current leadership might say is the real deal. Brothers and sisters, we need to listen to the Lord. Let's read on. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. You know, we need to do the practical things that God has commanded. Remember, circumcision, brothers and sisters, had a symbolic meaning. It actually does make you more healthy after 8 days. You need those 8 days, but after 8 days, it does tend to help not collect a lot of bacteria and that type of thing. But Romans 2:29 says, but he is a Jew. And this is a very important point as we talk about circumcision. Because I will tell you, one out of a million Christians understand what you're about to learn. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not of the letter, whose praise is of men, is not of men, but of God. So in other words, what this is saying is, you're not a Baptist, the person who is a Baptist that's truly following the truth, okay, whatever that truth is. If you believe in baptism, you're a Baptist inwardly, not the ones who say, I'm a Baptist outwardly, okay? God is here trying to tell us that you're no longer considered a Jew by him just because you're born in that lineage. A Jew is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, but a Jew is a Jew, which is one inwardly, okay? And that's powerful. Let me read the whole thing because that was just Romans 2:29. But if you read Romans 2, I believe even verse 28, it says, for he is a Jew, which is one outwardly. Sorry, for he is not a Jew. Did you hear that? He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and that of the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. So if you believe the Adventist message is the right message, in the eyes of God, you're not an Adventist just because you joined the church. You're an Adventist, a Seventh-day Adventist, if you follow the principles of Adventism. So God had different systems. He had the Jewish system. The Bible says we're Jews because it's in us. You know, we believe the promises that the same ones Abraham believed. We believe in righteousness by faith, not righteousness by works. You see, as we move on in this topic today, Sarah is mentioned in Hagar and Abraham's relationship is a symbol of righteousness by works. Abraham wanted a child, Sarah wanted a child, so they went and did it in their own works, with their own strength, instead of trusting in God. That's how a lot of us live our Christian walk. We think that because we pay our tithe, we're going to heaven. Because we go to church on Sunday or on Sabbath, we're going to heaven. Because we support, you know, what's going on in the church, we're going to heaven. Because we're on the deacon board, we're going to heaven. We have all these wrong things that we think are going to get us into the kingdom of heaven, brothers and sisters, and none of these things actually get us into the kingdom of heaven. What gets us into the kingdom of heaven is faith. And so, you know, you have a lot of people making accusations, and they don't even realize that's called name-calling, and they use it in a derogatory term to discourage people, but it's a type of force. You see, if you leave the organization, you're an offshoot. No, I don't want to be labeled. So they're using force, coercion, force. That's the plan of the devil, brothers and sisters. Jesus didn't do that. When the disciples said, hey, they're over there, but they're not with us, Jesus said, he that is not against us is for us. Now, when you teach the truth about what is going on in an organization or you point out sin, brothers and sisters, that's not being against God, okay? Now, some would say, oh, you got to be inside to point out sin. Says who? Where'd you get that from? Give me a scripture that says I have to be a Roman Catholic in order to expose Roman Catholicism, the evils of Roman Catholicism. I have to be a Sunday keeper in order to expose the evils that have come into the teachings. Now, brothers and sisters, let me just back up a little bit, because remember, there were the Jewish nation they rejected Christ. So God chose Christians. They were first called Christians at Antioch, the Bible says. So the Christians, it is Paul who said, a Jew is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, but a Jew is a Jew, which is one inwardly. So the Christians are still spiritual Jews. And then the Christian church was taken over by the Roman Catholic Church. So God set up the Protestant Reformation. But the Protestants were still Christians, and they're still spiritually Jews. Then God set up the Advent movement. So the Advent movement is still Protestants, and they're still Christians, and they're still spiritual Jews. That's how God sees it. What we do, we like to say, if you're not part of this club, if you're not part of this group, you're not with us. That is satanic. And those who do that and those who then go as far as using derogatory terms, calling people offshoots, okay, you're not following the Bible. First of all, it's not even kind. It's not even the law of kindness. It's not kind. You could be called a go along to get along, you know, whatever. If we can condemn an independent spirit if the spirit is not following the spirit of the Lord, but you don't call somebody a name. That's derogatory, friend. Just like it's derogatory to maybe you could be called I can't even think of a name, but some name that you could call somebody who is a believer in what is Bible, if a person who is out of an organization calls the person in an organization a name, that the calling of a name is derogatory. It's not what Jesus would do. And I just gave you the example when Jesus saw people not with him but teaching truth, he had no problem with it. He didn't call them names, you see? Now, I'm just saying, because we've got these kind of problems in the church, brothers and sisters. You have people teaching and preaching. They're on YouTube. They're here on Facebook. And they're not kind to people. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. They think that because of all the great work they do, that they're going to be saved. If they don't repent and repent publicly, since they said it publicly. See, that's another thing. All these teachings are interwoven. Do you know that if you sin publicly, you have to repent publicly? So if you publicly call somebody a name, you can't just call that person on the phone and say, hey, you know, I'm sorry for calling you. No, you have to get up and say, you know what? I have said some things that I should not say. I have called people names. I have called people offshoots. That's name calling. You know, if you want to teach and you can show from the Bible and the spirit of prophecy why a person must stay in an organization, and you're going to use all the Bible and all the spirit of prophecy to do so, you're not going to ignore those statements that say we had hoped that there would not be the necessity of another coming out. Okay, that's what the prophet said, the necessity of another coming out. She saw that there would be the necessity of another coming out. That same person said, we are in danger, talking about a Sabbath-keeping church, Sabbath-keeping organization, of becoming a sister to fallen Babylon. You see, you've been lied to. Oh, don't ever call the church Babylon. Now, she didn't say it was Babylon. She said it's in danger of becoming. So if it's in danger of becoming, then we've got to relook at the statement that says don't call it. You see, and I've done that, brothers and sisters, and I'll tell you how you balance it all out. God is a balanced God. Every statement that says don't call the church Babylon, and I'm not here to call it Babylon. I want to make sure you understand that. I'm not here to say it's Babylon. What I'm saying is people misunderstand those statements. That's all I'm saying. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. She said don't call the church Babylon that's walking in the light. So I want to ask you a question. The church that said a transgender can be a member, is that church walking in the light? Is it not an abomination for a man to even wear a woman's clothes and a woman to wear a man's clothes? But you can be, I read it on Sabbath actually, transgender. You can be transgender and be a member. Okay? That same church has homosexuals that are in leadership, and they won't. Stop it. See, what you don't stop, you promote, brothers and sisters. That's a principle. You need to understand that principle. So you are responsible. That's why even on the Sabbath, you're responsible for the stranger that is within thy gates. If he goes outside your gate, that's fine. He's not even part of your family, not part of whatever. But when he comes on, I'm sorry. You want me to wash your windows? The only day I can wash them is on the Sabbath day. And it's your church or your house? No, you can't wash them. I'm sorry. Well, I have to find someone else. Let the windows be dirty that Sabbath or whatever. You see what I'm saying? Because we have to follow the principle. We can't be saying, oh, yeah, okay, I keep the Sabbath, but I want this relief coming to me so my windows can get clean or my grass can get cut. No, the stranger, he comes into your gate when he comes onto your property, brothers and sisters. And so these are wonderful principles that God has given to his people. And so we must, brothers and sisters, understand that this principle, a Jew is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision of the flesh, but circumcision of the heart. This is powerful. You are connected to God when you're following God's principles. 1 Samuel 2:30, them that honor me, I will honor. Them that despise me will be lightly esteemed. You are not considered by God to be his remnant when you are not following truth. We're just talking about name calling, brothers and sisters, and the powerful principle that is given here in the Bible. Where it says, but he is a Jew, he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, okay? And because it brings us to this concept of circumcision, Abraham circumcised Isaac, and circumcision can be used in the wrong way. A lot of people use circumcision like we use church membership. Now, if you're in the church, no, what is the meaning of circumcision? That God wants to cut out the wickedness of our heart. That's what circumcision is all about, friends. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised the son of Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded. And we just read that circumcision, brothers and sisters, was a heart thing. Okay, it symbolized a heart thing. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. He was I always get that word mixed up. I can't remember what it is. When a person is a centennial, I think it is. They were a centennial, I believe. Okay? I may not have it right, but that means you're 100 years old. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck, for I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew. You know, and this shows that when a child is born, the man, both man and woman, but the man has a very important responsibility when a child is born. And notice how the Bible mentions that the woman bore him a son. And you see that perverted. A lot of women want a man, and so they'll stop taking birth control pills but not tell the man so that they can get the man they can get pregnant, and then the man they'll think I have him now because I bore his child. You see how perverted that is? But women are blessed by God. They're equal with man, but in one sense, God is revealing through this the responsibility of the head of the house. So it is said, I bore him a son, so to speak. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which he had born unto Abraham, mocking. You see, he was the top dog till Isaac was born. Now all this attention is going to Isaac. And you see, brothers and sisters, this is all about being a great nation. And they're talking about, you know, all the inheritance and things of this nature coming to Isaac. And so Ishmael is having a little problem in his little young age, mocking. Friends, when we do things that are not biblical, it always causes a problem. So you've got split families and, you know, it's always some tension because here's family number one and there's some gatherings and somebody from family number two is coming and don't let anybody die. Then there's this big fight over who gets what and who was left what in the will. You see, now, of course, that happens a lot of times even in a single family, but it just complicates matters when we don't do what is right, brothers and sisters. Friends, God wanted us to be monogamous. We should have one husband, one wife, and that is the only person that we should show that level of affection to. And life just goes so much better when you do that. Wherefore, she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Now, I'm not going to take the time to go there, brothers and sisters, but you will go, I believe it's going to be in Galatians, that it's probably Galatians 3, I believe, that God used Hagar and Abraham to symbolize righteousness by works, and God used Abraham and Sarah to symbolize righteousness by faith. In one case, Abraham tried to do it in his own strength, his own way. Don't we do that so many times? We would think the end justifies the means. The end does not justify the means, brothers and sisters. Oh, you know, we can change the way we do church because we're trying to reach the young people in the community, okay? And so we bring the world into the church. The end does not justify the means. You might see some bodies, brothers and sisters, but I read in the council that it is better to have 6 thoroughly converted people than to have 60 make a profession and they're living in the world, brothers and sisters. The church is full of worldliness, brothers and sisters, and we have forgotten this is a probationary time to get rid of all sin before Jesus comes, my friends. That's why Jesus is in the most holy place. You're not going to heaven if we can't give up the things of this world. Oh, that beautiful song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You know, brothers and sisters, some people know that we lost my mother last month. And I will tell you, when people, God is the judge, but, you know, I know my mother is going to rise in the first resurrection. I have no doubt. Now, mother wasn't one to give testimonies. She wasn't one to volunteer to read scriptures for church. Now, she did it, but, you know, and my mother was, you know, my father who passed away, and this was many, many years ago. My mother was a minister's wife, but my father wasn't the best minister, okay? And so some people deal with issues differently, and God is the one who reads the heart. But I can tell you this, all mom wanted to hear about was Jesus. All she wanted to sing about was Jesus. Even, we would sometimes watch the news just to know what was going on. We even had a little, you can call it a little tradition in our home. When we would eat breakfast, we would watch nightly news from yesterday. So we had this little thing we would say, Mom would be at the breakfast table, and I would pull out the iPad, and I would say, okay, Mom, let's find out what they say happened yesterday, like Lester Holt instead of yesterday. It was yesterday. And we would just giggle about that and chuckle about that. And Mom, we would watch the news, and it was always bad news for the most part. But, you know, we kind of felt like we should know what was going on in the world. And, of course, when the weather is going on and what was going on with the pandemic, you know, all those things, we kept up with all that. But as Mom got closer and closer to the time when God would lay her to rest, she wasn't interested in that anymore. She just wanted to hear godly, lovely, godly music. She wasn't interested in the things. And so, friends, that tells you a clue as to whether a person's heart is right with God. If all you want to view is things of the Lord, you know, then that shows where your heart is. Her mind was in heaven, even as she was sunsetting and transitioning to sleep in Jesus. She just wanted to hear about Jesus. So I just wanted to say that we need to recognize that righteousness by faith is what is going to get us in, not tithe paying. That doesn't mean you shouldn't pay your tithe. That's another subject. Some people in the righteousness by works movement say all your tithe must go here. And if those same people wouldn't even support Jesus himself because he was not accepted by the conference of his day, okay? And so if it were not for the grace of God, it is God's grace that keeps ministries that are teaching truth afloat, brothers and sisters, because that's not where the majority of the money is going. The majority of the money is going into that which is promoting a combination of godliness and worldliness. And you can't do that, friends. It's not going to get us anywhere. It just makes the world more like the church rather than making the church more like the world. All right. The child groom was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day. We already talked about how the little child was mocking. Wherefore, she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall be heir with my son, even Isaac. Now, Abraham, this boy is his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. And all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So that's deep, because God is so interesting. If you study the history, when Hagar was disrespectful to Sarah and Sarah disciplined her, Hagar left. God told Hagar to come back. A lot of people don't catch that, because her position was not supposed to be with Abraham and be his other wife. Her position was to be, her job that God had given her was to be the servant of Sarah. So she was leaving her post. God said, send her back. Okay? The only reason why Sarah was treating her that way is because she was rebellious. Because I bore him a son. I'm a wife too. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. And so now Sarah is saying they need to go. And Abraham doesn't want to do it. But God says, hey, she's right. You need to do it because it's going to be a problem. You see, darkness can't stay with light, brothers and sisters. And I want to bring out something that is very, very powerful, because we have so much strife in our homes. We have so much strife in the church. The Bible says in James chapter 3, verse 14 through 16, listen to this. But if you have bitter envying, why did she get the Sabbath school superintendent position? I want it. How did he get to be the choir director? How did he get to be the head elder? But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. What is it? Just envy. How Lucifer became Satan. Envy. And we think the big sins are sexual sins, and the big sins are murder and addiction. Brothers and sisters, this world was messed up because of envy. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. And so when you have that, brothers and sisters, God calls the leader to do something. And so that's important, important principle, how you deal with envy. Because sometimes the leader has to make a statement, and everybody has to say, okay, I'm in with this, or I have to leave. But this, the leadership, God, the supreme leadership. But then God uses others to say, no, this is the way of the Lord. And then people have a choice to say, okay, I'm leaving or I'm staying, okay? And they will humble themselves and submit to the truth, or they will leave. And in this case, he had to put them out because the boy was developing some bad feelings toward Isaac. And also the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation because he is his seed. So God gave Abraham a promise. And brothers and sisters, the descendants of Ishmael have always been fighting the descendants of Isaac. Even though Ishmael will be saved. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder. And the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. She went and sat down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot, for she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. Now, she's just crying and she's complaining. Did you know the little boy started praying? How do we know? And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. So you're not praying, you're complaining. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. When I'm in trouble, if there are some godly children, I want them to pray for me. Did you hear what I'm saying? Because their faith is so simple. And it's not full of all the complications that we sometimes add to simple prayer. The child simply says, help. We want to know, we want to talk to God about the nature of the help and the timing of the help and all the, the child just says, help, okay? I want a child to pray for me. Amen? That little child was in trouble. He prayed. Bible doesn't necessarily say he prayed, but the bottom line is it was by all appearances. He learned it from Abraham. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife. Sorry, I heard a little noise there. Out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now therefore swear unto me here by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me, and the land wherein thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water, which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, I wot not who hath done this thing, neither didst thou tell me, neither yet have I heard of it but today. So in other words, his servants violently took a well from Abraham's servants, and so Abraham reproved corrected Abimelech on that point. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave unto Abimelech, and both of them had a covenant. Now, this is interesting because a lot of people who think that we're living in the new covenant, that's true. We've always been living in the new covenant ever since sin, friends. And mankind made a separate covenant. We're going to learn what a covenant is in this story. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what mean these 7 ewe lambs which thou set by themselves? And he said, for these 7 ewe lambs shalt thou take of mine hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because there they swear both of them. Thus they made a covenant. They swear both of them. Thus they made a covenant. So when people talk about the new covenant, friends, it is a covenant where you accept Christ as your Savior and you choose to have righteousness by faith. That means you choose to be obedient. You commit to be obedient and to love him. That's the new covenant, friends. The new covenant, the old covenant is saying I'm going to be righteous by my own works. Okay? So a lot of people don't realize this, and that's why they have these lambs. There was a symbol, and they made a covenant, both of them. Made a covenant. So if the new covenant is enforced, what are you deciding to do? What have you committed to do? Those of you who claim that we don't have to keep the Sabbath because it's part of the old covenant. Okay, so why do you keep Sunday? And you would feel guilty if you didn't go to church on that day. Friends, there are things we must do as Christians. This is not a namby-pamby relationship. There are responsibilities. There are rules. You can't live without law. Try driving without any street signs, friends. You'll die before you get too far because everybody's going to just go as fast as they want to go and run stop signs and run stop lights. But you don't think those laws are restrictive? And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there the name of the Lord, name of the Lord. And they're called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. All right, my brothers and sisters, it's time now for us to transition to wellness. We'll do so with the song after prayer, and then we will hear from Sister Lenny. And her topic will be simple desserts, not forbidden. That's a beautiful concept. I love desserts. Simple desserts, not forbidden. We don't want to eat too many, but we're going to learn some principles about that. Father, thank you so much for this day. Bless us as we seek your face. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, friends, God is an on-time God. It's time now for us to listen to the torso song.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are His natural chemo. Escape to torso of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave, in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Hear from Delaney at this time on Simple Desserts. Delaney.
Good morning. Happy Monday. Simple desserts, not forbidden. Plain, simple pie may serve as dessert, but when one eats two or three pieces merely to gratify an inordinate appetite, he unfits himself for the service of God. Some, after partaking largely of other food, will take dessert, not because they need it, but because it tastes good. If they are asked to take a second piece, the temptation is too great to be resisted. And two or three pieces of pie are added to the load placed upon the already overworked stomach. He who will do this has never educated himself to practice self-denial. The victim of appetite is so wedded to his own way that he cannot see the injury he is doing to himself. Then, when she needed extra clothing and extra food and that of a simple yet nutritious quality, it was not allowed her. Her system craved material to convert into blood, but he would not provide it. Graham flour, prepared in a way, in a variety of ways, by other hands than her, plain cake with raisins, rice pudding with raisins, prunes, and figs, occasionally, and many other dishes I might mention, would have answered the demand of appetite. The food placed before the patient should be such as to make a favorable impression on them. Lemon pie should not be forbidden. The dessert should be placed on the table and served with the rest of the food, for often, after the stomach has been given all it should have, the dessert is brought on and it is just too much. You know, when I read this some time ago, I started this with my children. When I was served dinner, I saw that my children didn't overeat because they knew that a dessert was going to be served. Mm-hmm. If I served cookies, there wasn't a whole plate of cookies only three or six. It was just three of us. If I made them big, they knew we were only getting one cookie. Then, if I served lemon pie, that whole pie did not go on that table. They knew it was only going to be three slices of pie on that table, one for each of us. One for mommy, son, and daughter. After that, they knew no more food was coming. So I know that that works. And like I said, I started that with my children. I just thank God for the things that, you know, we learned. This information is coming from Councils on Diet and Foods, page 333 to 334. Let's try self-denial today and praying that God would help us to be temperate in all things that we do and all things that we eat. May God bless you.
Amen. I think of that, even that little birthday song says, don't eat too much cake. Praise God. Phone lines are open, brothers and sisters. Press star 6 if you'd like to share. We have roll call starting with Facebook. We have Georgia. We have Missouri. We have Virginia. We have, I'm not sure where my brother William is. And we have another brother, Raymond. We have North Carolina. And then just to get their messages, we have a good morning from Sister Vicky, a good morning from Sister Salita, and good morning from Brother Peyton. On the call, if you have to share, just press star 6. We have Desiree on the line. We'll take her call at this time. Good morning, Sister Desiree.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Sister Maria. Question. I know of someone, never been a reader, and to understand God's Word. Just, do you have any suggestions where you start that person at in God's Word to get them started?
A person who just hasn't had much exposure to the Bible, sometimes it may be better to start with some of the major Bible stories. But if they just start with the Gospels, you know, start with Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, just start there. That's probably a good place to start. Of course, they could start with the book of Genesis. We're going through Genesis and learning these principles from these stories that God has given. So that would be my suggestion. There is no Bible scripture that says start here or start there, but that would be my suggestion. I probably wouldn't start them with the book of Revelation.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. If there is anyone else, please press star 6. We have about 7 minutes to the top of the hour. I want you all to know we caught a raccoon again yesterday, and when I look out this morning, there's a huge raccoon in the trap. So I don't know, man, where are these guys coming from, you know? But anyway, it's so interesting because raccoons are probably some of the most smart mammals. I mean, raccoons can figure out how to open doors, and they can do things. If you look at them, they don't have, like, their regular claws. They look more like fingers, and so they can do things with their fingers and digits, as we call them, that other animals can't do. So raccoons are very, very, they can get into things and get out of things, and so I guess because of that, they have a natural boldness, and so they're not really afraid of what could look like a trap. They just want the corn that's in there, and all we're trying to do is just save some of the corn for the deer, so we relocate those types of animals. We relocate them to a park. And so everything's dealt with humanely. They just have a nicer, bigger home with a bigger body of water and more plants to choose from and things of that nature. So anyway, God is good. That's what we've been doing. That's what happened last night. We caught a raccoon. So I would say this is the fourth raccoon, and we did catch one groundhog. So fourth raccoon, one groundhog. And so that's what happened last night in the Fleming's home. All right, friends, no other comments are there. We would like to have my wife dreamed of to give us our closing prayer at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to have had the opportunity to open up your word. We pray that your spirit will continue to teach us the things we need to know as we grow closer to you, as we grow into an understanding of your word, more of an understanding, and certainly as we can gain wisdom and knowledge. And Father, we pray that you would be with every one on the line in a special way throughout this day as we ultimately do service unto you. Let us be productive in our efforts and successful. Help us to be mindful of the heavenly things that is just before us. And let us take time throughout the day to pause and to give you praise, glory, and honor as we ask for your help and guidance. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord.